Brother Ian, Brother Mike, I thank you for that and just that provoking thought. If for the life of one soul saved here on earth, all heaven rejoices, why do we have a bunch of somber-looking Christians more often? We have much to rejoice about, amen. Amen. So I appreciate that opportunity here by your pastor. I do not take it lightly. Though the odds are stacked against me, my father-in-law turned off the AC, so it got hot, and so I'd hurry it up. And he told me if I keep it under 30 minutes, which I can't see that clock, he would buy everybody here some ice cream. That's right. So I know at least most of you are praying that I go quickly, and he's praying that I preach long. But no, it's been a blessing, and even in preparation here for this evening, the significance of this period of life that we're in, the 250th anniversary of America, it doesn't fall lightly upon me. The pastor this morning talked concerning the high cost of freedom, did he not? Yes, sir. And I want you to grasp those numbers, because numbers are so deceiving. I want you to, again, as he stated, to narrow it down to the individuals. That was somebody's mother's and father's child. Yes, sir. That was an individual with life and liberty. And many of those men who died on the American side, they fought for the opportunity so that we might be free.
Praise the Lord.
Yep, you're right. I knew I forgot something. You didn't want to hear me anyways, I promise. But again, I want us here this evening to envision the high cost of freedom. But I also want you to know that many of those men dying, fighting for freedom, died in sin and without liberty. Oh, that's a terrifying thought, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
That ought to provoke us to do something with the freedom that we've been given.
Yes.
So this evening, with the Lord's help, I'm going to preach tonight on the subject of liberty, the elder sister of freedom. Those two aren't the same. They sound alike, and you cannot have liberty without freedom. But liberty isn't freedom. So if you have your Bibles here this evening, we're only going to look at one chapter, preacher. Psalms 119. Amen? I'll read quickly. I take very seriously my Lord's command, that which thou do, do quickly. Psalms 119, I'm joking. We're really going to look at just a couple of small verses here, but with some powerful meaning behind it. So if you're there, go ahead and stand if you would in honor of the reading of God's word and look at verse number 45. Psalms 119, verse 45. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. The Bible says this, and I will walk at what?
Liberty.
For I seek thy precepts. Let's pray this evening. Our Father, Lord, we thank you again, and it's been mentioned time and time again, but we truly thank you for freedom. Father, for the time to which we've been born in, and for the liberties which you've afforded to us. And Father, for those who have paid the ultimate price, Lord, we thank you for their ultimate sacrifice here on earth that we may know freedom. Father, help us here this evening as believers in you to follow after you and to grow in grace, to seek after you and walk in your precepts. Father, help me, quicken my mind as to make it clear and be with these people here tonight who have purposed in their heart not to hear from a man, but to hear from the word of God.
Amen.
Lord, be with us here this night, and may you receive all the glory and all the honor this evening. Amen.
Amen.
At this time, you may be seated here. Well, again, I've stated in the beginning that liberty is not freedom, okay? They are much akin, but I want us to understand the difference. And because of that, I asked for some volunteers. I asked the preacher if he would be willing to stand, and he said he would try. So, Pastor, if you'd stand over here. And I'm explaining this through illustrative form. And I understand, not every illustration is perfect. So don't get too serious about it. But the pastor here is going to represent God. And you say, where's the other two? God the Father, God the Son. Listen, it's a low budget. I can't afford to get anybody else up here. So he's going to represent the Godhead, okay? And God himself. Now I need one responsible, obedient young man to be the other example. And if you don't volunteer, I'll volunteer you. All right, nope. Who do we got? I need somebody responsible, obedient. Brother Abraham, would you come up here this evening? All right, Brother Abraham, you come up here. Let's fix your lapel pin here. Look sharp. All right, now, are you ready? Are you scared? Everybody's looking at you. You're doing great. All right. So I have with me a very fake set of very cheap plastic handcuffs. I was trying to get real ones, but I can't. Now, stick your hands out, would you, Brother Abraham? Have you been arrested before? I don't believe you. You look like you've been arrested. Is that tight? No? Okay, well, don't break out, okay? These aren't mine. Don't break them either, okay? I don't want to pay $5 to get new ones. All right. Now, because I knew people would be offended, I will represent sin. All right, yeah. Say, how humble of you. Yes, it is. Now, Abraham, you're going to represent mankind. Don't you feel important? You're representing the whole world. Now, we would understand as readers of the scriptures that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are in bondage to sin. Amen. From our state and the fall of Adam, all mankind following him is in bondage to sin. And so in order to exemplify the difference between freedom versus liberty, I want supposed God over here, Timu God, if you want to call him that. Now, we would understand that young Abraham, he's a sinner in need of a Savior, is he not? Yes. He's just like every one of us.
That's right.
Well, there comes a time, and you're going to have to play the Holy Spirit, when upon hearing the gospel, this young man, Abraham, he hears the gospel. And the Holy Spirit comes and he convicts his heart. Now, Pastor, come this way. Now, and don't push me hard, please. I don't have insurance. The Holy Spirit convicts him of sin. Do you feel convicted? Yeah, just say
you better.
Yes. Yeah. Don't scare my only example, all right? I need him. So at that point in time, young Abraham accepts the fact that he's a sinner and unable to save himself. And so through the conviction of the Holy Spirit and hearing the gospel, he repents and he turns to Christ, allowing you, God, to free him from what?
His sin.
The bondage. The bondage yes. of sin. Well, are you free right now?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, no? I let go of you. I'm sin. Well, here, go run down the aisle. That's the only time you can run in church. Run. Come on. Get down. Are you free? Aren't you free? I let go of you. Well, oh, you still have what? Handcuffs on, don't you? You see, we are free, and he is free to do whatsoever. He's actually free as a believer in Christ, born again, free from the bondage of sin. He's able to choose, is he not?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you have a choice. Do you want to go and walk with the Lord, or do you want to come and follow me? Well, that's rude. I invited you up here. So you have and that's what I mean.
Intimidate you.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean by liberty isn't necessarily freedom. I have no constrict. I have no ability to control him. He is at liberty to choose in whom he will serve, just as Joshua chose
yes.
in whom he will serve. And so there is an important aspect, and I lost the keys to that. So go ahead and sit down, buddy. Go ahead, and you may be seated. I'm kidding. They're fake. You can take them off of them. I don't need them back. But that's a silly illustration. I want you to know that. Are you stuck?
No, he's out there.
Okay, good. I knew you went to prison. No, just kidding. But you see, folks, that's a silly illustration. And I was a youth ministry person for a while if you haven't told. You know, can't be able to tell. But I think it's of a vital importance because we as senior adults, or senior saints, if you want to call it that, those of us who have lived a life in Christ for many a year, we know and we've seen many Christians still going back and back and back to their sins.
Go ahead.
We've been set free. Our souls have been liberated by God. And yet we choose daily. You say, well, that's not me. Well, I look out and I don't see anybody better than the Apostle Paul. And if he had to die daily, man, I must need to die hourly.
Amen.
So when the psalmist states this, and I will walk, not in liberty, at liberty.
Amen.
Why? It says for I. So it's only given through seeking thy precepts. Now I know there's an exclusivity. It's a private club. This isn't referring to everybody. The lost man, the man who's dead in his sins and trespasses, he knows nothing of this liberty. Did you know that? He may walk in virtues, good deeds, the law, but he doesn't know true liberty. We forget the great gift that we've been given, preacher, that we can know and taste and feel true liberty in Christ, that we may walk at liberty. But I know that we look around in the world and it's pretty dark today, isn't it? A lot of people in bondage to sin, they're stuck in it. They have no freedom. Well, could it be, Brother Gabe, that it's because of us as Christians? What if we've been outcompeted by the market, preacher? That the world has offered a semblance of liberty that the Christian has denied the lost world?
Well,
I hear Christians state, well, it doesn't matter how I act. I always wonder if I smack them in the face if they agree that. Well, I thought it didn't matter how I acted. But there's a fatal flaw that James addresses. If you have your Bible still open, I hope you do. Turn to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. If you go to Genesis and go right, it's somewhere in there. Amen? If you don't know where it's at, I can't help you. I'm sorry. James chapter number 1, it's very important to understand the context of who he's speaking to. And while you turn there, I'll give you a little bit. He's speaking, it's James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren. And so he's speaking to his brethren, the people, the 12 tribes scattered throughout. And again, I say at exclusivity, this message is mainly for two people. There's only two types of people, saved and the lost.
Amen. Amen.
And so I will address both people here tonight. But my primary focus is going to be on the believer. I have on good authority that many of you may know Christ already. And I've met that, I've sensed that by the Spirit, that many of you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. And so this makes you an active participant in this law and liberty. Are you in James chapter 1? All right, look at verse number 22. James speaks to them. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Look at verse number 25 with me. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a what? Doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Folks, I'm here to contend tonight for us believers in Christ. We've heard that old adage that we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. But I think it's about time that we start holding ourselves to that standard at a greater rate. Because we hear plenty of the word, don't we? We live in a time with freedom of religion, freedom of expression. I was telling asking Abraham, I said, guess how many sermons I've listened to? He said, I don't know, thousands. Why? Because we live in an informational age. Oh, I've consumed thousands of hours. Thousands. I've listened to your pastor. That's at least half of that. Thousands. But hey, I could tell you that if I don't act upon all those messages that I've heard, this world's in a worse off condition because of it. And I'm in a worse off position because of it. Man, just knowing the things of Scripture isn't sufficient. We know that, don't we?
Sure.
We know that, hey, a man can know that he's lost, but if he never gets to that point where he's acknowledged his sin and acknowledged his inability to be saved by his own accord, that he is dead in his trespasses and sins, whether he does all the law or not. So it isn't the knowledge of good and evil necessarily. It isn't the knowledge of Scripture which saves us. And we know that. But listen, there's another aspect of it. Be doers of it.
Amen.
Consume it. I love consuming the Word of God. And I love consuming messages by men of God. But if I don't do anything with it, what does it profit a man?
Good.
Hey kids, look up here real quick. How old are you, Mr. Abraham?
Eight.
Eight? Lillian, how old are you?
Ten.
Nine. Jessica?
25.
Hey, look up here. Did you know that you have an entirety, Lord willing, and I pray it's a long life, of hearing the Word of God over and over and over again? But I'm going to tell you one of the great risks. Did you know, my dad's here tonight. He was my Sunday school teacher for many of those early years. Don't ask him how I was as a kid, okay? Kids, don't ask him. I heard hours of the Word of God. But it wasn't until I decided, and I knew, that I was going to make that a priority to obey that which I heard, that my life turned around. Because I was frustrated, preacher. I heard and I heard and I consumed and I consumed, but my life wasn't changing.
Yeah.
What was wrong with me? Well, James says it right here, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. What did he say at the end of that? What? Deceiving your own selves. Man, we have a lot of self-deceived Christians, don't we? You say, well, not I. That's a good mark of self-deception, isn't it? Kids, I don't know why I'm picking on the kids. It's because they're smaller than me. But listen, kids, look up here. If you look around to these adults who are Christians, you're at just as much of a risk to be self-deceived as they are. And if you're of a senior age, you're just as much of a risk to be deceived. You see, liberty isn't a constant state, or it's not a guarantee or a right. It's something that is constantly pursued.
Sure.
And so you can live your entire Christian life up until the very end and then stop. And you die in bondage to sins. Now, you're saved. I'm not saying you lose your salvation. No. You have freedom from your sin, but you give in to your flesh, as we even spoke about this morning in Sunday school. You can give in to your flesh as a believer. You ought not to. Paul makes that very clear. And so, but it's a real risk for us as believers in Christ, Brother Ryan, That we would be even our own deceived by our own selves. And James goes on in verse number 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, we're going to look at this parable. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Man, I looked into that. And in my studying, I don't know about you, but I don't spend too much time in front of a mirror. I'm a little scared of it, to be honest with you. But hey, when I look into the mirror that my wife has, it's one of those super magnified ones. It's even worse. No. But when I look into a mirror, what do I see? The state, my natural state of who I am. It's not altered. There's no stupid filters like you have on your phone. Okay, my sister-in-law will video chat my wife and have these weird faces on there. I told her to keep them on there. She looked better. But that isn't what James is saying here. He's saying he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. It shows every detail of you as you are.
Sure.
Brother, it doesn't make you prettier. It doesn't make you any uglier. It doesn't make you this or it doesn't make you that. It is what it is. And so James is saying, hey, if you hear the word only, you're like this man that looks into the perfect law. You look at the scripture which you've consumed throughout your life. And you look at it and you see your sin and your depravity and your inability to save yourself. You see your consistency to fail God. You see your unholiness. You see your unrighteousness in your sinful flesh. Let's look at verse number 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway what?
Forgetteth.
What manner of man he was. Folks, do you know what that means? That's like saying this. You see yourself for who you are. You see the brokenness, the depression, the anxiety, the bitterness that can creep into your heart. You see it as revealed by the Holy Spirit. And I'm primarily speaking to saved people. You say, well, saved people shouldn't have this. Really, what is sanctification? It is making us Christ-like. We still have this flesh of ours, this sin nature which plagues us. And again, I always love Paul's words of, I must die daily. I crucify myself, that flesh, that wickedness. But what James is saying is, if you just hear it and hear it and hear it but not do it, you look at that, all your sin and your guilt, and you turn away. You look at it, you see it, then you walk away. And then straightway you forget your sinfulness. Listen, I know that in Hebrews when it speaks about forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, that's not just a helpful suggestion to Christians. Yeah, how do you think that we can see into the perfect law? How do you think we can see and consume the scriptures as God commanded and to be held accountable by the body that he has given to us? All right, Brother Whiteman and I were talking about the significance and the importance of church membership and being a part of a local assembly.
Amen.
Because it gives you safety. It gives you responsibility. It gives you accountability. It makes you a better Christian. It makes you a better believer in Christ and a follower in Christ. But listen, you can still, even if you are a member of this local New Testament church, you can still look at everything that the preacher exposes here, like this morning. Just the ultimate, unimaginable cost of freedom. You could look at that and then still go home, take a nap, watch some football or soccer, not think one thing about what was said. Oh, that's a hearer. You hear it. You hear it so often that you forgot. You've never stood up here behind the pulpit and preached out, and I'm not saying it makes you a better person if you do. Folks, I have preached at a hurt and a broken church before. You know what I see when I looked out? Eyes that were glossed over. Hearts that were broken and bitter. Just endless staring. Nothing I said mattered. I tried, I stood at the door and I knocked and I said, here's what God said. Can't you see your sin? Can't you see that he's the hope of all life and eternal life? Brother, I saw them straightway go away, forget the manner of man that they were. It's a scary thought, isn't it? That we would be so susceptible to this risk as believers. But let's look at verse number 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Again, brothers and sisters, they are talking about believers. We would understand that the law of God was a schoolmaster in the Old Testament. The Mosaic law was pointing us to Christ, the Messiah to come. And I really struggled with this early on in my Christian life that, well, it's the Old Testament. I don't like certain things about the Old Testament. And I understand we're under different dispensation of time. But I heard some prominent TV preacher once say that we just need to unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. Do you know what he was calling the law of God? Useless. Just old. Outdated. Insignificant, Brother May. You know what it's not? It's not any of those things. It is the perfect law. Listen, it was made by God. Commanded by God. But it is by the Spirit. And you can see that in 2 Corinthians, I believe. And we don't have time to get there here this evening. I'm running out of my 20-minute mark. But you could look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I believe verse 11, that the Holy Spirit, in this New Testament age, the Lord has equipped his believers and his preachers to teach, given the Holy Spirit, not the law, but the Spirit of the law. The Spirit is what gives life and value to it. Right. These actions that James is speaking of, they give liberty.
Amen.
And so when you attend church time and time again, you hear the Word of God, you look into it as a reflection, and you see yourself for who you are. Well, that's a choice for the believer. To say, yeah, I see myself for who I am and I'm going to change. By the power of God and through the perfect law of liberty, now strengthened and equipped by the Holy Spirit, I will pursue those precepts that the psalmist was talking about. Hey, and those that pursuit and those actions, they have consequences, do they not? The psalmist, again, he wrote in the beginning, in that first passage that we had, and I will walk at liberty. Meaning, and that word liberty, brother, means wide open spaces, undeterred by anything. I will walk at liberty. Why? Because I seek thy precepts. And we, if we as believers, and again, I'm speaking to believers here tonight first, if we walk, we will have so much liberty. And so much freedom. And they will be paired together. Because I know, by most standards, and preacher, you can confirm this, you've preached out before, have you not?
Yes, sir.
You had freedom to go there. You weren't stopped or inhibited by law, were you? But I guarantee you that you probably preached somewhere where you had no liberty, did you?
That's true. You're
right. You hear that term by preachers, oh, I just didn't have liberty. That's because it's an active participant. Sure. Event. You guys make the difference here of whether you accept or reject what Amen. Is being taught by the Word of God, by the man of God.
Amen.
And so again, If we walk in His precepts, pursuing Him, we'll have that liberty. Now, again, I said that it's two people, saved and the lost. Why is this such a big deal? Well, now we're going to get to the lost. Folks, you have eyes, you have ears, you have a TV, you have internet. This world isn't free, is it?
No, sir.
It's in bondage to sin.
It is.
It's a wicked place.
Yes, sir.
But again, I think their marketing is a little bit better than the Christians. Because it's sad. I spent 4 years in the United States Marine Corps, and I went for various reasons. But one, I would like to think, were the white men, that I went to protect and preserve freedom. Well, I saw freedom. I saw 12 of my friends get cheated on. I saw numerous of my friends get DUIs. I saw 3 of them get kicked out of the military with dishonorable discharges. That's freedom, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
They chose, didn't they? Well, that's because they bought into a lie. That, oh, hey, I was told this. You wouldn't know it by now, but preacher, I was an awkward kid. I was homeschooled, by the way.
Amen.
And I was told that, hey, if you just take a little sip of alcohol, man, you'll loosen up. People will like you. Man, if you just cuss a little bit, man, you'll have so much freedom and you'll be able to tell those people off just like you should. I heard that. I heard, man, if you just sleep around, man, you'll have all the options and you'll really get to know who you are. Man, you'll have so much freedom and you'll know yourself on a new level. And man, the freedom that comes and the liberty that comes with knowing all that. We all know that that's a lie, isn't it? We've seen lives corrupted by it. We've seen marriages destroyed by it. We've seen children's lives corrupted time and time again through that belief in those lies that they're being sold. That's only 3. I could tell you so many more. Man, if you treat them like they treated you, that's fair.
Right. Help yourself.
Yeah. And sometimes we as Christians buy into those a little bit, don't we? Man, I can have a TV in my child's room. It's fine. I can have my phone locked to personal codes and my wife not have the access to. I can do that. I have rights. One of my favorite pastimes is to watch, Miss May, the police videos, police cams. Man, I love watching those. I think I would punch somebody in the face instantaneously. You know how many people I've seen said, hey, that's my right. I'm a sovereign citizen. I have the right to go 80 miles in a 35 mile per hour speed zone. I have the right. Hey, listen, do you understand that they're free to think that? They're free to do that. It's against the law, but they're still free to do it. They do it. But you see, we as Christians, we often dip our toes into that realm, don't we? Because at that point in time, we become hearers only and compromisers on the other end. Listen, our holiness, our righteousness is not in works. We know that. We know that. But listen, what we do with the Word of God matters. On an individual letter. There's a reason why the psalmist says, I will walk at liberty. He didn't say, we will walk at liberty. I can't dictate to you, brethren, whether you walk at liberty or not. All I know is that I have written commandments based upon the revealed and perfect revealed word of God that I've read, that I ought to love my wife as myself. I know that. But I can't dictate that to anybody here who's married. I only can do what I know to do as written in the Word of God and be a doer of the Word of God and not a hearer only. And that's the truth for you and you and me and anybody else that you meet. Well, we're talking about why this is so important. Because when we buy into the world's definition of freedom and liberty, we are gently ushering on the lost people to a sinner's hell. We say, there's just a bunch of rules. There's too many rules. You can go in, go on. You're okay. I agree with you. I do the same thing, don't worry about it. It's important for us. And because when they look at us, or even if we say something, Brother Ian, if we said something, and they know, well, Brother Ian, you do X, Y, Z. Where's your liberty? I'm more free than you are. That's why it's important to distinguish the difference between freedom and liberty, because they're not the same. They're not. And so personal accountability, listen, we are a testimony to the world. And I think more than often, I'm a terrible testimony sometimes in the way that I behave. Actually, and you know what behave is? Obedience to the Word of God. The way my rejection or acceptance of obedience to the Word of God dictates how others see Christ in me. Amen. That's why I mean we're terrible at selling the gospel. And I'm not saying for profit or for, worldly gain. I'm saying that the good news of the gospel doesn't look very good when the Christian isn't faithful, is it?
Well, go ahead.
Right. Hey, the good news no longer becomes good when, hey, you're sinning and you're struggling with your sin, and I know that you're struggling, but you tell me I can't do it. It doesn't become good news at all. It just becomes old news. Listen, people are tired of hearing religion after religious people telling them, hey, you got to live a certain way. There's plenty of that out there, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
The Muslims are pretty moral people. The Mormons, man, they're really nice. They even have nice white pressed shirts, a little badge. My wife got me a pin. I just gotta tell this. My wife got me a pin, and it says, "Don't worry, I'm not a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness." But listen, look up here. The world is so sick and tired of seeing fake, false religion. That's the end result of just hearing and not doing. If you love this world, if you love the people in your family that you know are lost, it ought to provoke you unto action. It ought to break your heart when you do not handle a situation just right, and that person looks at you with genuine disappointment, and you think, oh Lord, please don't let them think that this is all Christians. Lord, please don't let them think that this is all of my faith. Please let them see truly the freedom that is in Christ that I have. But my actions matter. And your actions matter. I've said this in every church that I've been to and preached at, and I'm not saying I've been to a lot, but it's universal in its application. Your faithfulness to church matters. You say, why? Because it makes the preacher happy? No. I know your pastor, he'll preach to 5 the same that he'll preach to 500. It won't matter. Why? If you look to the left and look to the right, you're affecting every person next to you. I understand that there's circumstances that arise, hindrances that come up. But if you're able to, just that one act in obedience to Scripture. What Scripture? Hebrews. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. That was the early church. That was early on. We're 2,000 years past that. We're still struggling with it.
Well, go ahead.
And so, literally, it mattered back then and it matters now.
Yes, it
And if there is any under the sound of my voice into which do not know Christ, truly, and the freedom in which he affords you to choose liberty over all else, to walk in liberty, to experience the freedom which comes. Not a bunch of rules. It's freedom. I once told a gentleman, a young Marine that I had, he asked me, you know, what's the big deal about alcohol? What's the big deal about just getting drunk? You know, you have so all these rules that limit you. And I was kind of fed up by then, and he'd offered me many a time. And I asked him, I said, I forget his name, but I said, when you drink 2 beers, can you drive? He's like, well, I'm not supposed to. I can, though. Some drunks are better drivers when they are drunk. But no, he can't, can he? No. I said, brother, can you depend upon your faculties of reason? It was a Marine, so I didn't use such big words. But I pretty much said, can you think and trust what you think when you're real drunk? Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't remember. I said, hey, can you act prudently with your finances after you've had too much to drink? And he started to look at me. He says, well, I guess there's more rules than I thought there was. Brother, I had one rule. Be not drunk with wine.
Amen.
I turned my eyes from it. I've never seen one good thing come out of the consumption
Amen.
Of alcohol.
Amen. But
I have liberty. Do you see that? I could walk in liberty. I walked in true freedom, knowing that, hey, if I follow the commands of God, I'm more free than the world is. Man, when somebody does me wrong and offends me, like my father-in-law, you know what I can do as a believer? I can turn the other cheek. Hey, the lost and the dying world, they have no concept of that. If I wasn't a regenerated soul and born again, I would have had to have punched my father-in-law in the face. But I'm a Christian. And I have liberty at that.
Amen.
I do. And as the psalmist says, I will walk at liberty because I follow or seek after thy precepts, thy law. We're not under law for salvation. But the commands of God remain the same. Thou shalt not kill.
Amen.
Is still just as good
Amen.
Then as it is now.
That's right.
It's still pretty pertinent. So tonight, I've given a lot of applications, in a sense. But now I'll end it with a question. It goes for the kids. My example down here, up to the oldest person, Brother Ryan. Listen, it applies. Here's my question. Can you say, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Listen, will you walk in it or will you just say it? Will you preach it or will you live it? Listen, all of you older people, look at these kids around you. If you fail, you're going to heaven. But if these kids do not know Christ, look up here. Kids, look up here. If you do not know Christ and you base your Christianity off of the falsehoods that you see and hear and the failures of Christians, then you will die and you'll go to hell. And it'll be partially mankind's fault. It'll be partially guided by the Sunday school teachers and the preachers and the laymen and the deacon. It'll be all on all of our shoulders. Why do you think we'll be crying in heaven? I think because God will show us every opportunity that we had and we messed up. And we saw an innocent soul dying and burning in hell. And we knew that, hey, we had that opportunity to show them the true and the living gospel. And the best that we could do was just to be a hearer and not a doer of God's word. I want you to know that it's so important what we do and how we do it. Listen, you're going to struggle with sin. I know it. And I'm going to struggle with sin until we are raptured up with Him, until we have that perfect mind and the perfect body. Listen, we're going to struggle on this earth. But we have, because of the price that was paid at Calvary, and the freedom into which we are given as believers in Christ, having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we have the opportunity, as Mr. Abraham had, to choose. Hey, am I going to go back to my sin, or am I going to follow the precepts of God and walk in them and obey Him and grow in grace and grow in sanctification? It is a blessing every time I say it every time. I'm so encouraged when I see faithful people here attending and growing in the Word of God. Amen. I can remember when Brother Ian, you were here early on, and man, you tried, you know, reciting the books of the Bible, and you may have been hesitant at first, but man, you've been working on it. Amen. And man, you're an encouragement to me. I see you bring up these good questions, you're thinking, and you're growing. Amen. And that's an encouragement to me. But it's sad because I go to churches and I see people who've just been there and always will be there. Because, well,
God help us.
That's what I've always done. Those are hearers of the word and not doers. So as you stand tonight, as we close, I want you to seriously think, and as we bow our heads in prayer, I'm going to turn it over to the preacher here this evening quickly. But seriously, if the Lord has worked on your heart as He has my own, in conviction, or needing forgiveness, or for salvation, don't leave without having dealt with those things. Preacher, you come and close the service.
Amen. As we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, what a tremendous, powerful thought to bring forth as a message. The freedom we enjoy, we are blessed by and with. But do we still walk in liberty in that freedom? Piano begins to play tonight. Does the world, whether lost or born again believers, those who are in the world, do they see Christ in you? But does it really matter, preacher? Well, it does to him. It does to others. But the question I'm asking you tonight is, does it to you? What they see, does it matter to you? As Brother Josiah had stated, we talked all morning about those who fought for freedom and liberty. But I appreciate this distinguishment tonight between that which is freedom and that which is liberty to walk in it. Are we walking in liberty as a child of God tonight? To what? To the drawing of the precepts of God that distinguish us as a child of God tonight. How we're saved, preacher. Look about the room in all completeness. I don't have a concern about any one of you with your eternal soul tonight. I don't know any insight on whether or not I should have concern of your liberty to walk in it tonight. I know you're free. But are you at liberty in it? You know, words mean things. But the actions which articulate words mean more. You study etymology and you learn what words mean. But you study one's actions. You'll know whether or not what they say is what they do. A tremendous challenge for us this evening. Heavenly Father, we want to take a moment this evening as we bring to a close, Lord, a wonderful weekend of celebration. Lord, rejoicing, remembering and reflecting. Lord God, we bring it to a close this evening with a tremendous challenge at heart. Can they see me reflecting you? Do they see you in me? Lord God, in my freedom, do I still walk in a bondage or holding? Lord God, am I at liberty tonight to walk freely in the freedom I've been blessed with? Lord, this powerful truth can be applied in, Lord God, just our everyday operation of life. But Lord God, even yet more importantly, certainly in our operation as a child of the living God. Thank you for our time today, Lord. Thank you for your presence and your working among us. In Jesus' name, amen.